Acts chapter 8 in your Bibles, and verse number 26. We're glad you could be here when Gwen and the kids were playing today, and they did a wonderful job, and it's a blessing to see that family serving the Lord. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. I hope many of you Yankees heard the call of God. Arise and go to the south. You see, that's exactly what the Lord would have you to do. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now this is rather uncommon. I'll tell you more about it as the message goes along this morning. We're studying through the book of Acts, verse by verse, and in expository preaching. Verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, I ask for your help to speak the truth, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to magnify the Word of God, that our Father may receive praise, honor, and glory today. We ask, Lord, that you'll help us as Christians to grow through the knowledge of the Word, be effective in our service for you, equipped for what we're going to face and what we need. And we pray for the lost to be saved, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Philip is an evangelist. He was one of the early believers that was called to serve. We believe as the first deacons who were gathered from the church of Jerusalem to care for the widow's needs. And Philip is called upon now to leave Samaria, where people are getting saved and a great spread of the gospel has been taking place, and many have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's sent to a desert place to meet one man, and it's a man of a different race, a man with no doubt a different skin color, a man who'd been to Jerusalem to worship and was now returning home. This is quite a traveling distance for this man to come. And he had come to the holy city of Jerusalem to worship, but he leaves an unsaved man. It's sad when people come to a Bible-believing church like this and leave without receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's vital that God would burden our hearts to go to those kind of people and share the gospel with them that they might believe and be saved. And that's what happened here with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, he's a traveler. He would not benefit the church at Jerusalem by getting saved and baptized. He would not benefit the church at Samaria by getting saved. He's going all the way back to Ethiopia where he's from. He's traveled there, and now he's returning home. But God cares about every man hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants every man to be saved. God wants all men to come to repentance. And God sends us to go to every people, every nation, every ethnic group of people to make disciples for Jesus Christ. There's no difference here with the eunuch. Now, first of all, Philip is a ready and willing servant of God. He's already traveled from Jerusalem, where they've had the great spread of the gospel, and the church has been built tremendously. At Jerusalem, 3,000 were baptized, 5,000 were saved, and the Lord was adding to the church daily those who believed. And now Philip has gone down to Samaria and preached, and multitudes are getting saved there. He didn't make his own agenda. He didn't say, this is what I want to do, or wasn't ready to listen and go as the Lord provided opportunity. When God opened a door for him, he stepped immediately through that door as a willing servant of the Lord, ready to serve God. Many people miss blessings of the Lord by not serving where God opens opportunity, because they have their own agenda, because they've set up a list of requirements. When I came here to Fort Mill to start this church, if I had said, I want to go somewhere and receive a full salary, or I want to go somewhere they've already got a building or already got people, if I'd given God a list of requirements, I'd never have come here and started this church. But I came because I felt it was where God would have me to go, that I believe it was the Lord's leading to come here and establish the church where there was a need. And by that, it has been a blessing in my life to see God supply for us and God provide for us and God establish the church here. And all of it is by the grace of God and to His praise, honor, and glory. We know many in the Scripture were reluctant to serve. Jonah was the reluctant missionary. God called him to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel, but he didn't want to go. He ran away from God's call. He went down and got on a ship and headed toward Tarsus, away from where God was sending him. But most all of you know that story. He didn't want the people of Nineveh, the Assyrian people, to be spared. God was going to judge that city if they didn't repent. And Jonah, as a prophet of Israel, didn't want the Assyrians to be spared. They were their worst enemies. He knew what Assyria was going to eventually do to Israel. And so he really didn't want to see those people spared. He wanted to see God's judgment come upon them for their wickedness and their evilness. And sometimes we look at the sinful people of the world and we forget to be merciful and we forget to be gracious and we think they deserve the judgment of God. My friend, there's not one of us sitting here that doesn't deserve the judgment of God. But God had mercy on us and God had grace toward us. And we need to have the same respect toward those who are lost and need to be saved. He was an obedient servant. Philip went where God told him to go, but Jonah was an unwilling servant. He didn't want to go. And God had to give him that first submarine ride in the great fish to put him through the chastening to death and burial and resurrection, which is a type of Christ, before he would go and do what the Lord had called him to do. But Philip has been willing to do everything the Lord has sent him to do. Now he willingly goes to a desert place to meet with one man. After being involved in the church of Jerusalem with thousands saved and being in Samaria with a multitude coming to Christ, now God sent him out to one man. You know, friends, it all boils down to one person every time. God's interested in every person being saved individually, each person coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The church can't save you. Your mom and daddy being saved doesn't save you. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Now he willingly goes to this place. He goes to Samaria first, and that's a mixed racial people in Samaria. The Jews and the Samaritans had very little to do with each other. You remember when Jesus went to the woman at the well, she said, how is it that you being Jew would ask water from me, a Samaritan woman? And Jesus had said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why did he go? He went to save that woman. And when that woman got saved, she went back into the town and told everybody there was a prophet of God out here that had told her everything about herself. And so they all came out to see. And by the time Jesus left them, they all said, we now believe not just because you told us, but because now we have seen for ourselves. They believed on Jesus Christ. Jonah ran away and suffered chastening, but Philip arose and went where the angel of the Lord told him to go. It's important that you and I are obedient to serve where God opens the door of service for us. It may not be what you would choose to do. It may be that God has something in mind for you, that God has a plan for you, that God has an opportunity for you. And if you're willing to serve, then God will open doors of service for you. If we give God an agenda, if we give God excuses like Moses did, if we, you know, find all the reasons why we can't, then we may never do anything for the Lord. There are multitudes of people who graduated from Bible colleges that still live in the town where the Bible college is because they liked the church and they gave God an agenda. You know, I have to have a full-time position, or I got to have this or that. And they're still sitting there waiting for that to happen because they weren't willing to just go where there was an opportunity and serve the Lord in some way. God may test us. He may give us a little place of service, a small opportunity, a place we aren't as familiar with or comfortable with, maybe out of our comfort zone, that God will give us an opportunity to serve. But if we are faithful in that, He may have much more in mind for us on down the road. But if we're not faithful to go to that first tested place, we may never find that place of opportunity that the Lord will provide. Now, Philip was in Samaria. It was about 35 miles north of Jerusalem. He had to go back to Jerusalem 35 miles and then go 50 miles to Gaza. But it's not all the way. He's out in the wilderness on the way to Gaza. And Gaza was an ancient city. He meets the Ethiopian eunuch here sitting in his chariot, and he's reading the Word of God. Let's look secondly at the Ethiopian. He is a man of authority under Candace the queen. He is a eunuch. Very plainly, that means he's been castrated. That was a common thing for servants in a king's palace, that this would take place, that they would be around the queen, they'd be around the harem, they'd be around the women of the court, and so this was a common thing that took place. Now, Gaza was one of five chief cities of the Philistines. And the old city by this time had been destroyed, and a new city had been built, and there is a new road coming to Gaza. By the Bible saying he was in a desert place, it's very probable that he was in the old road to Gaza, not the new road with the new city that had been built. It may be that he wanted to go that way for protection. It may be he wanted to go that way so that he could stop along the way and ponder what he had heard while he was in Jerusalem, and read the copy of the scriptures that he's purchased, no doubt at a high sum of money, to purchase a hand-copied book of the Bible, the book of Isaiah. It would have been a large sum of money to purchase this scripture that he's sitting in his chariot reading out in the wilderness. He's probably puzzled by what he's heard in Jerusalem. He went there to worship the Jewish God. He went there to worship. And he didn't find all the answers while he was in Jerusalem, and now he's reading their book of the Bible. Ethiopia was almost 400 miles south of Egypt. And to get where he was by chariot all the way, it would have been an extremely long trip. He could have taken ship across the Red Sea near the upper regions of the Suez Canal and the Sinai Peninsula. And it would have been about 300 miles from there to Jerusalem. Or he could have gone directly north from his homeland in Ethiopia all the way to the Mediterranean Sea and then caught a ship to Joppa. And when he landed, it had only been about 35 miles from Jerusalem. But it appears in the route that he's taken that he may have come all the way by a chariot and a caravan of people, and now he's returning in the same way. One of our folks is getting ready to go on a journey. Brother Scott Clark, this is going to be his last Sunday. We're going to see him for quite a while, probably. He'll be moving to take a job, and he's found a house to rent, and his family may still be here for a week or two, but they're going to be moving. And we're thankful you had a job. We're thankful for your service here and your service for the Lord. We pray everything will go smooth for you in the move. And I'm sure he'd you know, you probably, if you twist his arm, he could probably use some help loading a truck when he gets ready to make the move on when he finds the exact day and time for us. The eunuch by chariot. He reminds me of 2 Kings chapter 5, where the Bible tells us the story of Naaman, who was a great and mighty warrior, who was a captain of a king's host, but he was a leper. And he asked permission to go to Jerusalem, or to Samaria actually, to where Elias the prophet was, because there was a captive maiden in his home who was Jewish. And she said, "Would to God that my master was in Samaria where the prophet of God is, he could be healed of his leprosy." And so he goes to the king and he asks permission, and the king gives him permission, and he travels all the way to Samaria and he knocks on the prophet's door, and the prophet says, "Tell him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River." And y'all know the story. He didn't like that. We got much more beautiful rivers back home than they got up here. The old muddy Jordan River. Why in the world would I want to go dip 7 times in it? And he's going to leave. And his servant says, "Master, if he'd asked you to do some really hard thing, you know, a costly thing, wouldn't you have done it to get healed of your leprosy?" And so he goes and dips 7 times in Jordan River, and he's clean and pure, and his skin comes back to normal, and his leprosy is healed. And he sees there's a true God who this prophet speaks for, and he knows that he has the power to heal somebody of leprosy, and so he believes upon the Lord. Now this Ethiopian eunuch has come to Jerusalem seeking the Lord and seeking something from God. He's obtained a scroll. Now maybe the queen sent him. Maybe it was the queen who had heard some things about Jesus and the Jewish religion and the revival taking place at Pentecost. And all. Maybe she'd heard the stories of this from travelers that had come through. And she's talked about this with her trusted treasurer, the man over all of her finances. And she sent him to Jerusalem possibly. Or she's given him leave, if it was his idea, to come and to worship at Jerusalem. Something caused this man to come here, to seek the truth, to be looking to worship God. He could have had some history all the way back to Moses, who married an Ethiopian woman, and her father was a priest there. Her name was Zipporah, and her father's name was Jethro. And because of Moses, they came believers in the true God, and the message they would have carried back would have been transcended to their people. It could have been travelers who were passing through telling stories about Jesus and the miracles that were taking place up at Jerusalem. It could have been the news of Pentecost, this annual feast of the Jews where all the Jewish people gathered together from all these different nations of people, because there were Jews from Cyrene and Egypt and Libya, which are neighboring countries to Ethiopia. And it could be the news of their trip had spread, so this man has joined them to come to Jerusalem for Pentecost. We don't know the exact timing. We don't know all the details. But something has happened that caused this man to make this long of a journey to come and worship their God, but he leaves there without knowing Christ as his Savior, but he's got a copy of Isaiah. Being an Ethiopian eunuch, he would not have been allowed to become a full Jewish proselyte in Jerusalem if he had adhered to the Jewish law. He would have not been allowed to enter the temple. He would have been one that could be taught things of God, but not a full proselyte coming into the Jewish faith. But God made it clear to Peter and to Paul that the Gentiles, even if they were uncircumcised, should not be withheld from the gospel of Jesus Christ or from baptism and church membership, because God wants all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now he's sitting in the chariot reading Isaiah 53. Let's turn over there and read the verses that he's looking at in Isaiah. Isaiah 53. And by the way, you soul winners, if you ever deal with an unsaved person who is Jewish, this is the best text probably to use to show them, because they believe the Old Testament scriptures as we do, and they may immediately reject something coming from the New Testament. Isaiah 53 verse 2 says, speaking of Christ, For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide with him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil of the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the righteous. This text speaks of the crucifixion of Christ, of his death and what it provides, and justification, so that we are declared righteous before God through Christ. He took our sin. He took our iniquities. He bore the punishment of our death. He took our place. And now he gives unto us his righteousness. And we stand before God cleansed and forgiven through Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. Now this man says, how can I understand this? And who do you speak of? Are you talking about yourself, or are you speaking of someone else? And Philip preaches Jesus to him from this passage of Scripture. Any effective presentation of the gospel needs to be based on the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15 explains the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and why Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead. And he reveals this to him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As he explained the Word of God to him, this man had faith on Jesus Christ and believed. And as they come to the water, he declares he is a believer that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Thirdly, immediately this new creation desires to follow his Lord in baptism, verse 36 through 40. Now, no doubt Philip has either revealed baptism to this man, or possibly when he was in Jerusalem, he could have seen Christian baptism taking place among the multitude of believers that were baptized by the early church at Jerusalem. And so he questions, what hinders me from being baptized? And he said, if you believe, and he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so he followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Baptism requires several things. Number one, it requires a proper authority. Philip is no doubt commissioned by the church of Jerusalem. He is what we would call an ordained minister. He has been commissioned. They've laid hands upon him. They've sent him out with the gospel message. He's demonstrated he is an apostle of Christ with the apostolic gifts. As he went down to Samaria, people were saved and they saw miracles and signs take place as a result of him preaching there. And so he is the authority who baptizes this man. Secondly, there must be a proper subject. It must be one who is truly saved, a believer. We don't baptize babies. People hold up a baby and sprinkle them on the head. All you're doing is getting them wet and making them cry. They're not believers yet. It's not your faith that's going to save them. They must be believers in Jesus Christ in order to follow him in baptism. And sprinkling isn't baptism. Baptism must be by proper mode. Immersion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is demonstrated by baptism. You see in this text, they both went down into the water. He didn't grab some water, sprinkle him on the head. They went down in the water and he baptized him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then there must be a doctrinal association. Jesus was baptized by John. He didn't have any sins to wash away, but he said we must fulfill all righteousness. And by John baptizing Jesus, he was identified with the message that John was preaching for Israel to repent of their sins and believe on Christ who was to come. And now when you and I follow the Lord in believers' baptism, we're identified with this church, identified with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, identified publicly that we're believers in Christ, that He died and rose again, and we've been saved by the grace of God, and we adhere to the teaching of the Scripture that this church will preach. Now this man went toward home rejoicing after he was baptized. And that's the normal thing that takes place. Somebody gets saved, follows the Lord in baptism, and they rejoice that they found Christ as their Savior. And they followed Him in believers' baptism. True joy of the Lord. True peace that comes from God. The void that was in this man's life that sent him to Jerusalem seeking to worship, and he left without knowing Christ with a copy of the Scripture. That void is now filled. He knows the Lord. His sins are forgiven. He's recognized Christ as Savior and followed Him in baptism. The Bible says God's Spirit caught Philip away. The wording of that gives emphasis that there's something rather miraculous about the way God drew Philip away from the eunuch. God didn't want the eunuch to put his faith in Philip. He wanted him to put his faith in Jesus Christ. And it's important that we always keep our eyes off men and keep our eyes on the Lord. Miraculous type of removal sends him to Azotus. That's an ancient city of the Gentiles called Ashdod in the Old Testament. 20 miles north of Gaza is where he traveled. From there to Caesarea, where he was from, north of Jerusalem, he preached in all the cities that he traveled through on his way to the coastal city where he lived, about 20 miles east of Megiddo and 50 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Now Philip, we find in Acts 21:8, has a home there. He has four daughters who prophesy Scripture. When Paul and the apostles' team travels through that area, they tarry many days at Philip's home. And his daughters quote Scripture to them. And they rejoice with them in the Lord. So from this today, let us all recognize that we should be ready and willing to serve God wherever and whenever God opens an opportunity for us to serve. Let us reach out to everyone with the gospel message, regardless of their race, regardless of the barriers between us, whether you're rich and they're poor or they're rich and you're poor, those barriers should be taken away in Jesus Christ. Everybody needs the gospel and needs to be saved. And it's important that we break down those barriers. And thirdly, let us help disciple those who believe and leave them with understanding and knowledge how to grow in the faith and believe on the Lord. Ethiopia has always had a strong evidence of Christianity and a strong evidence of Jewish teaching. There's been a large congregation of Jewish people travel from Ethiopia to Israel in part of these airlift rescue things. Ethiopia is partially Muslim controlled today, but the government is not controlled that way, so there's still peace and liberty for American missionaries to go there and preach the gospel and establish churches, and they find people there all the time who are already believers in Jesus Christ, and they gather them with them and teach them the Scripture and establish churches as a result of faith. This man went home to tell the queen about what he's learned. He went home to tell his people about what he's learned. Like the shepherds, they went away after coming to Christ at the manger. They went away rejoicing, telling everybody what they had seen and what they had heard. And it's important we go away telling everybody what we've seen and heard from the Word of God. Let's stand together, please. Father, I thank You for the faithfulness of this assembly of people in being here today. I thank You for the liberty to preach I thank you for a Bible-believing group of people who love the Lord and want to hear from the truth. We pray today, Lord, that you'll bless the visitors, and we pray that you, if they have a need, you'll meet that today. And Lord, we pray for any attending here today, if there's someone without Christ or someone who has a need spiritually today, that you'll deal with their heart and draw them to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing a verse, we offer you an opportunity to come. We'll guide you, help you, counsel with you, whatever the need may be. Or if you want to come to the altar and pray, you're welcome to do that while we sing this stanza. Come on, Brother Jeff, and lead us.